Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Finance Minister believes trade war will erode Indonesia's credit growth. Foreign airline operations should be started. Coordinating Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan says. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati believes that the intensifying trade war between the United States and China will not have a significant impact on the growth of bank credit in Indonesia, which is a guideline reflecting the expansion of the business world. The credit is still very positive so far, especially for investment loans and working capital. Minister Sri Mulyani also said at the working meeting of the House of Representatives Budgetary Agency in Jakarta on Thursday. She also said the growth of bank credit was assisting in the recovery and growth seen in the middle of this year after weakening in recent years. The minister also said she hoped the momentum in growth will continue throughout 2019. This condition will be realized if the momentum of domestic economic growth is maintained and is able to counteract the impact of the economic slowdown due to a trade war between two economic giants, the United States and China. The Indonesian government at the ministerial meeting of Nuclear Disarmament and Non-Proliferation Treaty impelled nations to strengthen their political commitment towards nuclear disarmament. The appeal was made by the Indonesian delegation participating in the meeting held in Stockholm, Sweden on Tuesday, according to a written statement issued by the Indonesian Embassy in Stockholm and received in Jakarta on Wednesday. Participants from 15 nations, including those at the ministerial level from Finland, Germany, Japan, Norway, New Zealand, and Jordan, attended the meeting that was presided over by Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström. Indonesian Ambassador to Sweden, Bagas Hapsoro, headed the Indonesian delegation at the meeting. At the meeting, Ambassador Hapsoro reiterated the significance of boosting the multilateralism approach, reasserting political commitment to the nuclear disarmament agenda, and stepping forward in future by reverting to fast agreements and setting sights on low-hanging fruits to become the building blocks for implementing thorough nuclear disarmament. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated that the operation of foreign airlines in Indonesia should be started in a bid to offer more competitive ticket prices. The government, he noted, is still learning about rules regarding share ownership of foreign airlines operating in Indonesia. Minister Luhut opined that the orders by President Joko Widodo regarding the operation of foreign airlines would be carried out gradually. He remarked that Indonesia's domestic flight tickets are priced as the sixth lowest in the world. However, Minister Luhut admitted that there are a number of factors involved in an increase in flight ticket price. To capture the potential candidates for the leadership of the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, nationally, the KPK Selection Committee will disseminate to a number of regions in Indonesia to hold socialization on June 19. The socialization will be held in Malang, Surabaya, Semarang, Pontianak, Bandung, Pekanbaru, and Yogyakarta. Selection committee of the KPK leader candidate Al-Araf in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK Selection Committee hopes to find potential candidates of the KPK leaders from regions in Indonesia who have the capacity and competence in combating corruption.
Menjaring calon-calon pimpinan KPK ke depan karena dengan dukungan masyarakat.
To capture the next KPK leaders, the committee hopes that with community support, there will be qualified KPK leaders in the future. Therefore, socialization to the regions is part of active efforts of the committee in order to pick up the ball, in order to find candidates who have the capacity, competence, and integrity in efforts to eradicate corruption.
Memiliki kapasitas, kompetensi, dan integritas dalam upaya pemberantasan korupsi.
Meanwhile, KPK Selection Committee member Diani Sadiawati said that the registration of candidates of the KPK leaders was officially opened from June 17 to July 4. Meanwhile, documents that could be used as registration requirements for the KPK leaders' candidates could be downloaded on the setnek.go.id page. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's Trade Minister Enggartiasto Lukita and Chile's Vice Minister of Trade Rodrigo Yanes Benitez exchanged the instrument of ratification of the Indonesia-Chile Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, ICCEPA. The implementation of the ICCEPA is a historic moment. Apart from being the first trade agreement with the South American country, ICCEPA will also open the door for Indonesian export products in the South American region, Trade Minister Lukita remarked on Thursday. The minister will make Chile a connecting nation for Indonesian export products in South America owing to its strategic location. The Instrument of Ratification, IOR, exchanges a crucial legal procedure before the implementation of the ICCEPA. In line with the mandate decided in the agreement, Indonesia-Chile CEPA will take effect 60 days after the exchange of the IOR, specially on August 10, 2019. Before the IOR exchange event, the two ministers, Enggartiasto Lukita and Rodrigo Yanes Benitez, had met to deliberate on the most effective and optimal utilization of Indonesia-Chile CEPA. The U.S. Marine Corps and Navy Marines held joint exercises at Bumi Marines Base in Gedangan, Sidoarjo, to strengthen cooperation between the two countries. The joint exercise entitled Subject Matter Expert Exchange, SMEE, NEO, and R2P2 for fiscal year 2019 was opened by Marine Corps Commander Major General Suhartono, MTR, who was represented by Marine Brigade Commander Colonel Agus Gunawan Wibisono. In his mandate, read out by the Marine Brigade Commander, the Marine Corps Commander said the defense cooperation between the Indonesian government and the United States government had been continuing for many years. Further, Major General Suhartono, MTR, thanked the United States government for the cooperation and planning of the exercises that had been carried out previously, as well as for the Navy headquarters that had jointly planned and prepared so that the training could be held. To the U.S. Marine Corps delegation, the Marine Corps commander expressed his welcome to Indonesia, especially at the R. Suhadi Marine Corps in Gedangan, Sidoarjo. Ubud, located in Gianyar district of Bali, will be designated as a World Gastronomic Tourist Destination based upon the standards of the United Nations World Tourism Organization, UNWTO. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, said the process to certify Ubud as a gastronomic tourist destination would be an example for other regions in Indonesia. The establishment and assessments of Ubud as a gastronomic destination is the first in the world, and this is an example for other regions such as Bandung and Yogyakarta, Solo and Semarang. Minister Arif Yahya also said there are three important stages in the process of certifying Ubud as a world gastronomic destination. The first is to conduct an inventory of assets and gastronomic attractions, including mapping the readiness of the industry and business, which are then compiled in a report and submitted to UNWTO. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of commentary for today is Shinzo Abe Visit to Iran. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is making a historic step by visiting Iran. It can be called historic because Shinzo Abe will be the first Japanese Prime Minister visiting Iran after 41 years. Although diplomatic relations between Japan and Iran have been going on for 90 years since the Islamic Revolution 40 years ago, none of the Japanese prime ministers has visited Tehran. As an official government source stated in Tokyo during the visit that began on Wednesday, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was slated to hold talks with Iran Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. From the breakthrough made by Abe's visit to Tehran, Japan hopes for a positive impact, especially in an economic perspective, as is known. Since the enactment of U.S. sanctions against Iran, Japan has no longer imported oil from Iran. Japan transferred it to other Middle Eastern countries. In this connection, Shinzo Abe's visit to Tehran, of course, intends to encourage to reduce the tension between the United States and Iran. Tensions between the United States and Iran have increased and is becoming widespread after the United States no longer recognized a nuclear agreement with Iran last year. Since then, the United States has extended economic sanctions to Iran. As a close ally of the United States, Japan certainly supports the sanctions imposed, including stopping oil import from Iran. So it is small wonder if before the visit to Iran, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe had spoken by telephone with Donald Trump to discuss the Iranian issue, as conveyed by Chief of Japanese Cabinet Secretary Yoshihide Suga in Tokyo. Donald Trump welcomed the bold initiative of Shinzo Abe to meet Iranian officials and make approaches to reduce the tensions that occurred. Will Shinzo Abe's mission succeed? Will relations between the United States and Iran improve due to Shinzo Abe's mediating role? That question certainly will not be answered only because Shinzo Abe has met and talked with the Supreme Leader of Iran and the President of Iran, because the escalation of tension will certainly depend on the attitude and decisions of each leader of both Iran and the United States. One thing can be ascertained, however, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's breakthrough step will certainly have a positive impact on Japan itself. Because of the visit, the bilateral relations between Japan and Iran will be maintained. Even the image of the Abe government in the eyes of Ali Khamenei and Hassan Rouhani will increase. With this, the relationship and cooperation between the two governments will very likely improve and increase. Well, listeners, that was commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Hello, welcome back to Today in History of RRI Voice of Indonesia. I'll begin with June 12, 1929. Anne Frank was born. Analyst Marie Anne Frank was famous for her diary, which she wrote in wartime. She was one of the most frequently discussed Jewish victims of the Holocaust. The diary of a young girl, which tells her life journey from June 12, 1942 to August 1, 1944, has been adapted into a number of dramas and films. born in the city of Frankfurt in Weimar, Germany. She spent most of her life in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. Born as a German citizen, Frank lost her citizenship status in 1941. After her death, she won international fame after her diary was published. The diary tells of her experience of hiding when Germany occupied the Netherlands during World War II. Switch to June 12, 2014. The 2014 World Cup opens. The 20th FIFA World Cup was an international soccer tournament held in 2014 in Brazil. This was the second time Brazil held this kind of tournament. Previously, there was no South American country that held the FIFA World Cup more than once. A total of 64 matches were played in 12 cities in Brazil, either in new or rebuilt stadiums, starting with the group stage. Spain was the defending champion after beating Holland 1-0 in the final to win its first world title. I'll end with June 12, 2018, the U.S.-North Korea Summit in Singapore. The U.S.-North Korea Summit in Singapore was the first high-level conference between U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. This meeting took place on June 12, 2018 at the Capella Hotel on Sentosa Island, Singapore. Kim also met Singapore Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong on Sunday night while Trump met Lee on Monday afternoon at the palace and held a bilateral meeting. During the meeting, President Trump accepted the invitation of Singapore President Halimah Yacob to make a state visit to Singapore in November to coincide with the 6th ASEAN-US Summit and the 13th East Asia Summit. That was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. From Indonesia to the world.
Cinta yang sejati, ada sayang yang abadi. Walau kau masih memikirkannya, aku masih berharap kau milikku. Sejauh ku jauh aku pergi, rinduku kamu. Masihkah hatimu aku, meski ada hati yang lain? Ada cinta yang sejati, ada sayang yang abadi. Walau kau masih memikirkannya, aku masih berharap kau milikku. Andai harus terpisahkan, mungkin walau kau masih memikirkan. dengannya, aku masih berharap. Masih berharap kau untukku.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz. And website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
G20 Ministerial Meeting in Tsukuba, Japan on June 8 and 9th discuss, among others, the Data Free Flow with Trust Initiative, or DFFT. This initiative was proposed by the host, which was also supported by Indonesia. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Rudiantara, attending as one of Indonesia's delegates, affirmed the support. The FFT is data or information exchange of various sectors globally. According to him, this initiative can create chance for new economic activity valuating billions US dollars. Minister Rudiantara, in his statement on Sunday, said that in the technical meeting of the last 6 months, Indonesia had been actively giving support because data exchange among G20 member countries have potential advantages that will make collaboration and partnership more effective. The minister added that data is valuable asset in daily life. He explained Indonesia convey counter proposal for this initiative. Minister Rudiantara moreover said that Indonesia wanted requirements for the data exchange proposal in the G20 forum. According to the minister, this idea is inevitable, since it can create new economic activities valuating billions of US dollars. Among various prerequisites is the importance of data protection and the compliance to legal framework in member countries or international level. Prerequisites is the form of counter-proposal submitted by Indonesia were supported by other G20 members, mainly the populous ones such as China, India, and Saudi Arabia. Indonesia's suggestion had been included in the draft of G20 member countries' joint declaration of DFFT issue launched on Sunday. The proposal mentions that the implementation must consider some aspects, namely privacy, data protection, intellectual property rights, and security. Meanwhile, Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita, who also attended the G20 Forum on Digital Economy, said that data protection proposal must give benefits for trade activities and strengthen small-medium enterprises. The proposal must be able to increase small enterprises' activities and give profits not to certain groups only. He also reminded the data exchange implementation may be impossible in countries without proper infrastructure. Overall, Indonesia supported the ideas from Japan, although there are some requirements becoming special notes. Listener, that was my Indonesia. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder will present information about Paris Van Java Wonder. Paris Van Java is the nickname of the capital city of West Java, namely Bandung. This city becomes people's favorite place for holidays. It also notes various important histories, such as the establishment of the first technological college in Indonesia, Technische Hogeschule de Bandung, or TH Bandung. Now it is known as Bandung Institute of Technology, or ITB, as the location of the war on independence era and also place of Asia-Africa 1955 conference, where this conference sounded spirit of anti-colonialism. Even Indian former Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru in his speech said that Bandung is the capital city of Asia-Africa. Bandung is also well known as a city which is full of historic memory of struggle of Indonesian people in general. Some monuments have been built to commemorate the events. Take for example, there are struggling monument of West Java, Bandung Lautan Api Monument, Bancoi Jail Monument, Train Monument, and Cikutra Heroes Cemetery. Bandung is also called as Flower City. In the past, the city was viewed beautiful and full of trees and flowers. Bandung is also a shopping city with a lot of malls and factory outlets, which are spread out throughout Bandung. In addition, the city also becomes culinary tourism city. In 2007, consortium of some international non-governmental organizations made Bandung as pilot project of the most creative city throughout East Asia. Now Bandung is one of the main tourism destinations in Asia. Bandung City is also popular with a number of buildings whose architectures are the remains of the Dutch heritage, such as Gedung Sate, that functions as government's office of West Java provincial government, and Gedung Pakuan, which becomes the official residence of West Java governor. Bandung also has some public rooms for art and creative ideas, such as museums, theaters, and galleries. There is also Gedung Merdeka, where Asia-Africa Conference 1955 took place, and Gedung Indonesia Menggugat in the past became the place of Indonesian first president Sukarno to convey his phenomenal disclaimer or Indonesia claims in the era of the Dutch colonial. Bandung has some interesting areas which become the city's parks, in addition to functioning as lungs of the city and also becoming recreation places for city's community. There are also some typical foods which are well known not only in Bandung but also outside Bandung, such as tutuk oncom, serabi, pepes, colenak, and cireng. If you go to Bandung, we recommend you to taste peuyeum, a kind of tapai or fermented food. Tapai is a traditional fermented preparation of rice and other starchy foods, and it is usually found throughout Southeast Asia and parts of East Asia, especially in Austronesian cultures. Bandung can be accessed by using land transportation, such as train or bus around 3 to 4 hours. Today, the Indonesian government is constructing another public transportation, namely Light Rapid Transit, or LRT, which will make Jakarta-Bandung travel time to be shorter, which is around 45 minutes only. Listener, that was our segment, Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Alright, listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use the language in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is about how long have you been married? Or in Indonesian, sudah berapa lama kalian menikah? Next is a conversation about how long have you been married? Or sudah berapa lama kalian menikah? The conversation is between Tony and Dinda at Joko's family room. Tony and Dinda are watching a wedding pictures. After the conversation, now I'm going to introduce you some vocabularies and idioms related to our topic today, which is about how long have you been married? Or sudah lama? Berapa lama kalian menikah? I will say each word slowly and please repeat after me. Berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? In English it means how old were you when you got married? Once again, berapa umur kalian waktu menikah? Which means how old were you when you got married? The second one, aku 21 dan Mas Joko 25, which means I was 21 and Mas Joko was 25. Once again, aku 21 dan Mas Joko 25, which means I was 21 and Mas Joko was 25. The third word is pacar, which means girlfriend or boyfriend. Once again, the third word is pacar, which means girl or boyfriend. Let's move on to the next one. Saya tidak punya pacar, which means I do not have special friend. Saya tidak punya pacar, which means I do not have special friend. And the last is jadi belum tahu kapan saya akan menikah. In English, so I don't know when I will get married. Once again, jadi belum tahu kapan saya akan menikah. So I do not know when I will get married. In the dialogue, you heard an expression, berapa umur kalian waktu menikah, which means how old were you when you get married. The word waktu can be changed with ketika. The word waktu can be changed with ketika, remember. For example, berapa umur kalian ketika menikah, which means how old were you when you got married, can be changed with or can be submitted with ketika. So it can also mean berapa umur kalian ketika menikah. For example, saya menikah ketika berumur 21 tahun. Saya menikah ketika berumur 21 tahun, which means I got married when I was 21 years old. The second example is dia pergi ketika hujan, which means he or she left when the rain fall. Dia pergi ketika hujan, which means he or she left when the rain fall. Joko menelepon waktu saya sedang tidur. Joko menelepon ketika atau waktu saya sedang tidur, which means Joko called me when I was asleep. Waktu kecil, apa cita-cita kamu? Which means when you were a child, what was your dream? Once again, waktu kecil, apa cita-cita kamu? Which means when you were a child, what was your dream? The word waktu is usually used in a common conversation while the word ketika used in a formal situation or in writings. To answer Tony's question, Dinda said aku 21 dan Mas Joko 25. In the Indonesian language, the word puluh is tense. It is often removed. For example, 25 becomes 25, which means 25. 82 becomes 82. So we do not necessarily need to use puluh, which means tense in English. Instead, we can just cut the word puluh, so it simply becomes 25 or 25. And before we end, let's speak Bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, listener, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia on the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition can provide useful information for those of you who want to learn Indonesian language or for those of you who are curious about the Indonesian language. See you on our next edition with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Hari ini hari bahagiamu, di sini ku tegarkan hatiku, memaksa setiap langkah dalam senyuman kepedihan. Detik ini akan segera berlalu, namun tidak semua kenangan itu. Terlalu banyak kisah yang tiada usai bagiku. Tiba saatnya ku akhiri semua, ku hapus harapanku selamanya. Akan ku coba terus melangkah walau serpihan perasaan. Detik ini akan segera berlalu, namun tidak semua kenangan itu. Terlalu banyak kisah yang tiada usai bagiku. Tiba saatnya ku akhiri semua, ku hapus harapanku selamanya. Akan ku coba saat hatiku masih bersamamu. bersamamu.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I present you a song from Betawi entitled Kompor Meleduk by Bunyamin Sueb. The song Kompor Meleduk was composed and popularized by Bunyamin Sueb in 1970s. The rock and roll nuance song was released after prohibition for the songs with rock genre during the old order era being revoked. The lyric tells about social reality of Jakarta and its surrounding in 1970s. The lyrics also mention that flood remains occurred in Jakarta while hurricanes hit Bogor. Not only to criticize, the song Kompor Meleduk also invites people to act in overcoming the existing problems. Meanwhile, Bunyamin Sueb, the singer and composer of the song Kompor Meleduk, who is familiarly called Bang Ben, was a cultural icon of Betawi. Not only in music, Bunyamin Sueb was also expert in producing film. Well, listener, here is Bunyamin Sueb with the song entitled Kompor Meleduk. Happy listening.
Jakarta kebanjiran, di Bogor angin ngamuk, rumah aneh kebakaran, gara-gara kompor meleduk. Aneh jadi gemeteran, warawiri keserimpet, rumah aneh kebanjiran, mah gara-gara ikut mampet. Jatuh duduk, ayo ayo bersihin gor. Jangan takut badan blepot. Coba tenang, jangan ribut, jangan pada kalang kabut. Jakarta kebanjiran, di Bogor angin ngamuk, rumah aneh kebakaran, gara-gara kompor meleduk. Aneh jadi gemeteran, warawiri keserimpet, rumah aneh kebanjiran, mah gara-gara kok mampet. Hati-hati kompor meleduk. Hati-hati jadi tak duduk. Jatuh duduk. Ayo, ayo bersihin kok. Jangan takut badan blepot. Jangan ribut, jangan pada kalang kabut.
Ambil, ambil, tuh, kabelnya, ini kabelnya, Bunyamin kebakar.
Voice of Indonesia.
I like a man lonely, flying to the sky, looking for a young and putus. I don't like the tight bows, but I like a sinner sugar. When I fall into Chomberan, my face roti and lepotan.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.